Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Chad Young.
Hello and welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. As the man said, my name is Chad Young. Welcome to October. It feels like that should mean the postseason, but we actually still got 5 days left in the regular season, including today. So there's still moves happening. There's still fantasy matchups to be won. A lot still hangs in the balance. First big move of the day, Francisco Alvarez was in fact promoted to the Mets, made his major league debut Friday, hit seventh as the DH. Team made room by placing Darren Ruff on the IL. So the small side of a platoon is open for Alvarez even without catching, and it seems that may be his role. His debut, not great, 0-for-4, but the bat will play. We'll see how quickly it plays. With a righty on the mound for Atlanta today, it'll be interesting to see if Alvarez is back in the lineup, maybe comes into pinch hit. I suspect he regularly starts against lefties, but that might be all. Ketel Marte placed in the 10-day IL, ending a pretty frustrating season for his fantasy managers, and I'm sure for him as well. Marte basically repeated his 2020 season after breaking out in 2021. Through the first half, everything looked good, but the second half was a disaster. K rate spiked, walk rate cratered, home run for fly ball rate fell, BAPIP fell. He's worth a deep dive in the offseason, and I'd also keep an eye out for any news about lingering injuries or anything like that that may have impacted his second half. After getting his first save, Caleb Ort was sent down as the Red Sox brought back Jarren Duran. Duran played center field, led off, went 1-for-4 with one of only 3 hits for Boston on the night. I still think Duran proves to be a valuable fantasy player long term, but I don't expect a ton from him this week. As anticipated, the Yankees activated DJ LeMahieu from the IL Friday. He was at third base, hitting fifth, went 0-for-3, and then was pulled from the game. Apparently, Aaron Boone suggested before the game that DJ may not play the full night, so think this was planned and just easing him back to prepare for the postseason. Tim LeCastro sent down to make room. The Mariners placed Kirk Casale on the paternity list. That's unfortunate timing for him, I guess. He missed the postgame celebration Friday night, but he's got more important stuff going on. Brian Keefe up as a temporary backup catcher. The Phillies brought back Derek Hall, who was showing some intriguing power during his last stint in the bigs. There isn't an obvious spot for him to play. That played out Friday as he was on the bench for game one of the doubleheader, and then game two was rained out. Yairo Munoz sent down to make room. We'll have to see if Hall is in the lineup at all for either of the games today. Yankees still expecting to have Matt Carpenter back for either their final series of the regular season or for the playoffs. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll have much notice on when he'll be back or what his role is going to be, so for fantasy purposes, probably not a lot you can do. Zach Britton left the Yankees game. He tossed a pitch to the backstop and then called into the dugout. We'll wait for an update, but his history does not suggest this is good. Also a reminder of a couple upcoming returns. Zach Plesac back today. Tony Gonsolin on Monday. Top performers on the field on Friday. JT Realmuto did something Friday that had only been done 6 times all season. He stole 3 bases in a single game. That also got him up to 21 on the year, making him the second player ever to go 20-20 primarily playing catcher. He's atop the Razzball player rater for the catcher position, and only Dalton Varsho is really even close to him. There will be a lot of chatter about who should be the top catcher taken in 2023. Realmuto, still the top bat at the position for me, though his age does present some risk. Jake Fraley, 3-for-4 with a home run, the only Reds run on the day. He's been terrific versus right-handed pitching and is a must-start when facing a righty. Oswaldo Cabrera, 2-for-4 with the home run. It was the only Yankees run on the day. He's been very, very good in September. He's got a decent track record in the minors, but projections not super optimistic. I'm curious what role the Yankees see for him, but I suspect he's more of a utility guy than a regular starter, which will make him sort of a non-factor for fantasy. George Springer with a combo meal, 2-for-4, 2 runs, 3 RBIs. It was his 25th home run and his 14th stolen base. For Springer, as always, it's just about staying on the field. As you look towards next year, I just wouldn't really bank on more than 130 games, maybe up to 140, and be aware it could be less. Cal Raleigh came on as a pinch hitter and walked the Mariners off into the postseason with his 26th home run. When everyone in 2023 drafts is fighting over Real Muto and Adley and Will Smith and Varsho, Raleigh's going to make some managers very happy in that next tier. Cody Bellinger hit his 18th home run and was 2-for-4 with a run and 3 RBIs. He has had some big games like this over the course of the season, but they haven't really turned into anything. He's off my 2023 radar, but I have this odd feeling that he's going to have a huge postseason and trick me into drafting him again. Evan Longoria hit not one but two home runs Friday, his 13th and 14th. He has been solid, particularly for a third baseman when he plays, so feel free to ride him down the stretch. Other homers around the game, Rhys Hoskins hit his 30th, Vlad Guerrero Jr. his 31st, Raimel Tapia his 7th. Jose Ramirez got his 29th, a three-run shot that moved him up to 122 RBIs. Drew Waters hit his 3rd, Michael Massey his 4th, Carlos Correa hit number 22, Thomas Nito hit his 3rd. He's clearly not ready to give up that catching job in New York. Austin Riley hit his 38th, Matt Olson his 31st, and Dansby Swanson his 23rd. All three of those Atlanta home runs were off Jacob deGrom. Alex Bregman hit his 23rd, Taylor Walls got his 8th, Albert Pujols hit number 22, that was his 701st for his career. Joe Adell hit his 8th, Luis Ranjifo hit his 17th, Shea Langeliers hit his 4th, Eloy Jimenez hit his 16th, and Mike Yastrzemski hit his 16th as well. As for stolen bases, Alec Boehm stole his 2nd, Bryce Harper took his 10th, as did Bryson Stott. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa stole his 21st, Cedric Mullins swiped his 33rd and 34th, Jake Cave stole his 2nd, and Mark Contreras his 1st for the Twins. Jace Peterson now has 12, and Garrett Mitchell has half that with 6. Ke'Bryan Hayes took number 19, Dylan Moore stole his 21st, Ha-Seong Kim stole his 11th, Elvis Andrews got his 16th, Jake McCarthy stole his 22nd, he also had 3 hits in that one, and Josh Rojas swiped number 21. Turning our attention to a mound, a lot of interesting pitching performances, starting off with a great pitcher's duel as Sandy Alcantara and Corbin Burnes faced off in a matchup that could be last year's Cy Young versus this year's. They did not disappoint. Both went 8 innings. Sandy struck out 8 while Burnes K'd 7. Neither issued a walk. Sandy gave up 5 hits to Burnes' 4, and unfortunately for the Fish, he also gave up the only run of the game, taking his 9th loss. Both of these two are set to start the last game of the season. Sandy probably will, a chance to sort of polish that Cy Young resume, but Burnes, it depends what the Brewers are doing. If they've climbed into and claimed a wildcard spot by then, he may sit it out to prepare for the postseason. With their season on life support, the Orioles had Jordan Lyles on the mound. He did his part, going 7 innings, holding the Yankees to a run on 4 hits. He struck out 9, tying a season high for him. He'll get another go this year with Toronto coming up on Wednesday. Despite this performance, I still wouldn't risk that one. Bailey Falter had been cruising right along since late July until Atlanta torched him last time out. He bounced back Friday, shutting out the Nats over 6, striking out 6, walking 2, and allowing 3 hits. He had 10 whiffs on 84 pitches and a 33% CSW. Given his second half, I suspect he'll get some nice draft helium, but I think he's more like a high 3s into the 4s ERA type, less than a K per inning most likely. The low walk rate will help control his whip, but I don't know. I'm not that excited about it. Maybe a late round guy, and I certainly wouldn't risk him against Houston to end the season. Alek Manoah lined up for one more start before the postseason, but he is primed for the playoffs. Friday, he faced off with the Red Sox and shut them out over 6, striking out 4, walking 2, giving up 2 hits. He's going to be very high on 2023 draft boards, and he belongs there. Joe Ryan was excellent for the Twins Friday, striking out 8 and walking 1, giving up 5 hits without a run over 6. Yeah, it was the Tigers, but it still counts. This will be his last start of 2022, and it's worth looking at the new, more balanced schedule for 2023, because Ryan was brilliant against the AL Central this year, not so much against the rest of the league. Jacob deGrom fell to 5-4 on the year, but he gave up just 5 hits and 0 walks in 6 innings. Problem was that 3 of those hits were those solo home runs I told you about earlier. He struck out 11, showing he still had his dominant stuff, but those mistakes killed him. Max Fried got the win, but only lasted 5 innings. Gave up a run and 4 hits, 3 strikeouts, no walks. His velocity was down, and he was pulled at 71 pitches with illness. Pretty impressive for starting while sick. DeGrom and Fried are lined up to start the final games of the season for their teams. Whether or not they do will probably depend on the standings. If that game matters, if those games matter, they'll go. If not, whichever team is set for the wild card will likely rest their ace. Clayton Kershaw went 6 shutout, giving up 5 hits and 2 walks while striking out only 4. So weird to say I wanted more when he got a win and a solid whip and didn't give up a run, but it was the Rockies, and I'm going to say it anyways. I wanted more. Drew Rasmussen gave the Rays pen a much-needed short night, going 7 innings, giving up just 2 runs and 5 hits. Only struck out 3, but didn't walk anyone, got a win and a quality start. He's set to start the season finale against Boston, but it'll be interesting to see what the Rays do. They've now clinched a spot in the playoffs, but that game could matter for home field or where they're going to play their wildcard round, so we'll have to see how they treat their pitching rotation down the stretch. Great to see Jack Flaherty have success, and I am not allowing the fact that it was the Pirates against him to stop me from enjoying it. He had 18 whiffs and a 36% CSW, 6 innings, giving up a run on 4 hits and striking out 6 versus 2 walks. He gets another shot at Pittsburgh Wednesday and has a chance to give himself something to build on, both for the postseason and for 2023. Reed Detmers was excellent again, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 9 strikeouts and a walk. I'm going to have him on a lot of rosters next year. He was sent to AAA after a brutal June 21st start against Kansas City, rejoined the rotation on July 8th, and since then, 3.18 ERA, 2.68 FIP, 9.55 K per 9. He's had some home run per fly ball luck, and I think he ends up more like a mid-3s ERA, but I'll take that all day. Logan Gilbert went deeper, but Ken Waldichuk was definitely more interesting. Gilbert lasted 8 innings, striking out 4, walking 2, and giving up 1 run on 3 hits, while Waldichuk also gave up 1 run on 3 hits with 2 walks, but it was over just 5 innings pitched. He also struck out 8 hitters. This is Waldichuk flashing the talent that isn't quite fully baked yet, but is really intriguing for the future. I suggested Brady Singer and Aaron Savali as streaming options, and for a while that looked great. But Singer's 6 went sideways. He finished giving up 6 runs on 7 hits and a walk over 5 and 2/3, striking out 6. 5 of the 7 hits, 5 of the 6 runs, and that walk came in the 6th inning. Rough final inning for his season. Savali, meanwhile, was better. 6 innings, 3 runs, 2 of which were earned. On 3 hits, 5 strikeouts, no walks. Got a win and a quality start. Savali gets a repeat with Kansas City on Wednesday, and I'd run him out there again. I've mostly been ignoring Adrian Sampson, but he keeps performing. Friday went 7 innings, giving up a run on 3 hits with 6 strikeouts and 2 walks, bringing his ERA on the year down to 3.10. While his underlying performance isn't as good, a 3.81 FIP isn't bad. It's certainly a viable streamer. The Reds would have been a good option, but now he's done for the year, so you'll have to wait till next year to try it again. Davis Martin, not my first pick for a big night Friday. He's facing the Padres and turned in 5 2/3 strong innings, gave up a run on 6 hits without a walk, and struck out 8. His numbers of a starter have not been great, the Ks in particular have been lacking, but he was piling up Ks in AA and AAA this year. Don't think there's anything to get excited about yet, but maybe some interesting signs. Domingo Herman gave up 2 runs on 3 hits over 5 1/3, striking out 6 and walking 3. He's turning in a surprisingly solid season, but I'm just not a big believer. I think we know who he is at this point, and I don't think this is him turning a corner. Yu Darvish struck out 6, walked 1 over 6 innings, but gave up 3 runs on 8 hits. That's a quality start, but no win, a bad ERA, a worse whip. Not terrible, but not ideal. He should start the final game of the year versus San Francisco. That would be sort of a last tune-up for the NLDS, and I'd use him there. Framber Valdez ran off that huge quality start streak and now has blown up 2 straight. Friday gave up 6 runs on 9 hits with 3 walks over 5 1/3. He struck out just 2. He is set for Philly on the last day of the season, and I would still start him there despite the rough stretch. Finally, Merrill Kelly, probably glad he has one more start because no way he wanted to end what has been such a strong season by giving up 8 runs on 9 hits and 2 walks over 4 2/3 innings. He struck out just 2 and allowed 3 home runs. Even with that disastrous outing, his ERA is under 3.5. I'd still let him start Wednesday against Milwaukee. On to the bullpens. For the Orioles, they were still trying to find a way to get into the postseason when they played their game, and with their season on the line, they brought out Felix Bautista to take the 8th facing the top of the Yankees order. He got his 13th hold. His only blemish was at a walk. That was an intentional walk of Aaron Judge, so you tell me whether that's actually a blemish. Then they went to DL Hall for the 9th. He struck out 2 in a perfect inning for his first career save. Interestingly, if he ends up back in the rotation next year, that could end up being his only career save. Unfortunately for the Orioles, both the Rays and the Mariners won, so their season is effectively over. They'll play out the string, but postseason hopes will have to wait till next year. Yusei Kikuchi pitched 3 innings with the Jays up big and got his first save as a result. He struck out 5, walked 1, and gave up a hit. Kikuchi has now made 10 relief appearances, and while his strikeout numbers are insanely good, he still gets hit way too hard. Emmanuel Clase saved his 40th, striking out 2 in a perfect inning. Kenley Jansen hit a guy, walked a guy, gave up a hit, but also struck out the side getting his 38th save. He continues to be shaky, but he got the job done. Devin Williams also put three guys on base, two walks, and a hit for him. He also struck out the side getting his 15th save. Ryan Helsley got his 19th save, striking out one and walking one. Giovanni Gallegos added his 12th hold in that one. I said Ryan Tepro was the best bet for Angels save, so of course Jimmy Hergett gets his 9th on Friday. He struck out two in the process, so what do I know? And finally, Liam Hendricks saved his 35th, striking out two and a clean 9th. With that, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the weekend.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. First things first, with all the weather going on around the country, definitely want to hear from Mark Paquette.
Thank you very much. We have some moisture from the remnants of Hurricane Ian around tomorrow, but you know what? They're going to stay south of New York, going to mainly just be a few showers around D.C., and that's about it. Those are the only two games to watch, but I'm not expecting any major issues here. So go ahead and play whoever you got as we enter the last weekend of the Major League Baseball regular season. Thank you very much. Have a good one, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Mark. If you're looking for streamers, I know I went with the Guardian streamer on Friday. It worked out pretty well. I'm going to double down and go with Zach Plesac today. I don't think he goes very long in this one. Probably not going to get a quality start. Maybe deep enough to get a win, but even that might be a reach. But I think he'll pitch well against the Royals. JP Sears, check out the Seattle lineup, because if they have a hangover lineup after their clincher Friday night, he becomes an interesting option. If they are still going with their top lineup because they're trying to find a way into a home playoff series, it's a little riskier, but I don't hate it anyways. As for where I'm looking at hitters, the Twins came up with 7 runs Friday, and I think they put up another big number today against Drew Hutchison. Also, have your Phillies ready. They were supposed to have a doubleheader Friday. Instead, they're going to have that doubleheader today. They're facing Anibal Sanchez and Tommy Romero. They could put up some big, big numbers, and those are really important games for them. They should come out motivated. Looking around baseball, some really fun games this weekend. I know we now know all 6 AL playoff teams, but they're still seeding on the line. We only know 4 NL playoff teams. As far as games to watch for those playoff implications, Saturday and Sunday, you've got Jays and Red Sox. Jays have a 1.5 game lead on Seattle to host the wildcard round. They're going to try to extend that lead while the M's host Oakland. And Tampa right there as well. They're dealing with Houston. Real chance for the Mariners in particular to make up ground here, given the opposition each team's facing. In the NL, San Diego's taking on the White Sox. So they're looking to extend their wildcard lead. Well, Philly could really use a sweep of their doubleheader in D.C. as Milwaukee's playing Miami. If Philly only splits and Milwaukee wins, those two teams are tied for the final wildcard spot. And of course, that Atlanta-New York matchup with the NL East currently tied. That should be a great series. With that, enjoy the first day of October baseball for 2022. Scott Chu has you tomorrow, and then I'll be back with you Monday for my final first pitch of the season.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at PitcherList. And help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.